Let me begin with this profound statement. He who set the starry worlds on high, who filled the earth and the heavens with the wonders of his power, when he came to crown his glorious work, did not fail to create a being worthy of the hand that gave him life. Man was to bear God's image, both in outward resemblance and in character. As man came forth from the hand of his Creator, he was of lofty stature and perfect symmetry. His countenance bore the ruddy tint of health and glowed with the light of life and joy. Adam's height was much greater than that of men who now inhabit the earth. Eve was somewhat less in stature, yet her form was noble and full of beauty. The sinless pair wore no artificial garments. They were clothed with a covering of light and glory, such as angels wear. That was taken from a book that I'm not familiar with, entitled Daughters of God, page 21 and 22. When we compare then and now, the contrast is sobering, isn't it, friends? This fact was brought especially close to me as last week I had the privilege of joining the Loaves and Fishes team, and we went down to Sacramento and found people that looked very similar to this wherever we went. And yet the Bible speaks often about the fact that even the bodies of a race of people that have been ravaged by the effects of sin for the last 6,000 years have the privilege of actually being a temple or a sanctuary, as we sang about in our song, for God to dwell in. This morning I'd like for us to consider some of the implications of this reality. And we can do that best, I think, by turning to the passage that Scott read for us today, found there in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6. Would you open your Bibles with me today as we explore the depths of what it truly means to be indwelt by God? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll review those points, those key points there, beginning with verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. Three main points that Paul is presenting here in this passage. The first is that we are not our own. We belong to another. That's a hard thing for most of us to understand and appreciate. We are not our own. The converted Christian is, in fact, a willing slave or servant of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The second point is that we were redeemed at an infinite price. God both created us and he redeemed us. And so, in a real sense, we are doubly his. And then the third point, and the point that I want to share and develop this morning in greater detail, is that we have an obligation, a duty to glorify God in our bodies. What does that mean, do you think? To glorify God in our bodies. The dictionary defines this term glorify as to praise, or to exalt, or to honor. Now, we can do that with our words, and that's typically the way we think about praising and exalting God. But you know, in reality, the best way to do that is through our actions, isn't it? Better to do it through our deeds than just simply through our words. We find additional insight in chapter 10 and verse 31. Would you turn to that? Right there in 1 Corinthians still. But going over to chapter 10. Here's a familiar passage. Let's read it together. I think that most of us know it, even though we may have several different translations. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. There again, talking about the glorification of God in our bodies, that is, what we eat and what we drink. There's a famous radio talk show host who you will recall, I'm sure, if you've ever listened to him. He introduces his show by saying something about the fact that his talents are on loan from God. In a very real sense, our bodies are on loan from God. And I think that that's an excellent life motivator for the Christian to adopt. To think of our bodies as being on loan from God for the purpose of honoring Him. Let me share with you a couple of short quotes that I found in volume 6 of the Bible Commentary series. Here's the first one. Because men have been redeemed from eternal death, it is their duty to do all in their power to keep their bodies in the best condition, so that they may best glorify God by serving Him acceptably. What does that mean, in the best condition? Here's the next quote, very short. An understanding of physiology, anatomy, and the laws of health is necessary if the body is to be taken care of intelligently. Now, I know Patty is pursuing her nursing degree. My son, he's so excited. He just got accepted into the nursing program back at Southern, and he's going to be starting in August, just finishing up his undergraduate work here, his prereqs. So he's going to start, and he's already been exploring anatomy and physiology. That's not easy to understand and to remember, is it, Patty? You know, all of those, you know, vessels and muscles and bones and how they all fit together and everything. But God is asking us to know something about our bodies so that we'll be able to intelligently treat them the way that we need to. Which begs the question, how are we doing, each of us, about understanding and applying these laws of health? I'd say probably most of us are somewhere between we're actually doing it, or we're thinking about doing it, or maybe a little like Felix when he was being exposed to the preaching of Paul. You remember what he said? And this is a Clark translation. Don't call me, I'll call you. Probably someplace along that continuum. You know, to help us with this area of developing our bodies so that they would glorify God, right here in this Orangevale church, we have had some marvelous programs, and we continue to do it. We had the 8 weeks to wellness. You remember that? And we have some folks coming to church as a result, to our church, as a result of attending that. We've had the Depression the Way Out program. And currently, we are doing the CHIP, the Coronary Heart Improvement Project program. And we have a number of folks from our church as well as from our community that are attending there. We do that because we want you to learn and to implement these vital principles about how to glorify God in your body. Now, the thing that's exciting to me is that I see that some of you folks out there are making some wonderful steps in improving your body. We wanted to just come down here today, and I wanted to interview someone who came to me, I would say it was probably maybe 3 months ago. And they said, Pastor, It's exciting what God is doing in me. And I looked at this person and I said, yeah, it's exciting to me too. Wow, you've lost some weight, haven't you? I mean, your face is glowing nowadays. You know, what's making the difference? What's the transformation? And so I wanted to just ask Hal a couple of questions. Hal, would you be willing to turn around so everybody can see how your face is shining these days? You're going to the CHIP program, and you and your wife are being table hosts over there, and you've given your testimony to those folks who are attending there. But you have made some remarkable progress over the last few months. The first thing that I noticed was that it looked like you'd lost a little bit of weight. How much, if I might ask, weight did you lose?
Well, probably about 40 pounds.
Go ahead and hold that.
Okay.
About 40 pounds.
Right.
Wow. Was this done through diet, through exercise? What technique did you use? Well, let's turn right around so folks can see.
Well, that was primarily through diet.
Through diet.
Diet.
Okay.
And I was in desperate straits. My doctor had a conversation with me about a year ago and said, Hal, how long do you want to live? And I thought, well, that was kind of a wake-up call, but I really didn't know how I was going to go about that. I love to eat. I love food. I've been in the food business for 30 years, and it was a career selling fast food. And, of course, you know, these principles carry over into your own life. And so I fall back on a scripture that I should trust in the Lord with all my heart and lead not on my own understanding. And if I acknowledge him, he will direct my paths.
Amen.
So with that in mind, he directed me to Genesis 1:29. God's original diet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that all happened, you know, when God created us and the world, and he laid down his principles as to what we should eat. And those principles consist of 36 words, two commas, one semicolon, and a period.
Oh, you've added them up.
So
fruits, grains, nuts,
right.
Vegetables.
So it doesn't take a genius to figure that one out.
Yeah.
And I had been exposed to the Coronary Health Improvement Project. This congregation sent Colleen and me down to Sacramento when Hans Steele had a convention here.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some publicity work for him and listened to him speak. And I knew the principles of the CHIP program. And then I'd also had some exposure to Weimar through Dr. Ng down at Central Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I had tried this off and on to follow God's original diet, and it would work for a while, but then I would fall off the wagon.
Yeah, up and down.
Up and down.
Yeah.
So I've donated so many clothes to the food closet that I could probably, you know, fill my closet again. And I've done that, you know, it's a yo-yo situation back and forth. So.
Now, let me ask you this. It's not just diet, though. You told me that you are going to Rollingwood Racquet Club,
right.
Is that right? And you have your own personal fitness trainer there.
Right.
And she's coming over to CHIP, and she's going to share with us here
right.
One of these days. How has that gone for you?
Well, that's gone well. You know, when you think of fitness training, you know, that's not lifting barbells and doing a lot of heavy-duty, you know, work, but just simple things. Mary Truitt, my trainer, started with me by improving my posture, how to do that and how to walk.
Mm.
Here I'm 69 years old and I'm learning how to walk.
Mm. So the principles of walking that she taught you and standing and so on, share those with us for a moment, would you?
Yeah, well, do you want examples? Or?
I want an example, well, absolutely.
First of all, shoulders up and down. Bring your belly button into the spine and tighten the gluteus.
Okay.
And when you walk, you lean forward and let the body help pull you along with gravity, you know. So then, you know, there's stretching and what have you, doing wall sits and ball bridging. And those are all terms that we use, but there's nothing really complicated about it, but it helps you get fit and you feel better from what you're doing.
All right. Yeah. Now, let me ask Colleen, if I might, here. I'll take this back from you. Thanks. What do you think of this man? It's like he's 10 years younger.
I know. I like it.
You like it? So there's benefits in many ways, isn't there?
Right.
Not only do you feel better, not only do you have more mental clarity to carry on the tasks that God has given to you to do, and you have so many talents, Hal, but even your wife here is affirming you, and she's saying, I like the new Hal. Yeah.
Something else. I didn't mention it, that I was at the doorstep of death on February 2nd, and I'm not going to go into all that now because it would probably take the rest of the service. But if you want the article that I had in the Orangevale View, I'd be glad to pass it on to you. But after that experience, my doctor that released me from the hospital suggested that I eat fruits and vegetables. And, well, I'd already been doing that. I made a commitment to God's Coronary Health Improvement Project back in November of last year. So I had an appointment then on the 13th of February after leaving the hospital on the 6th to see my regular physician. And when I left the hospital, I was told to take certain medications for hypertension. And I came home and started taking my vital statistics, you know, with my own equipment, and found out that I didn't need any medication. Amen. And I went to the doctor on the 13th, and we agreed that I would take 2 aspirin a day, and he said, come back and see me in 6 months.
Praise God.
And I'm not on any blood thinner.
Wonderful.
And that in itself is a miracle, because I thought that this was for the rest of my life that I would be doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, what Hal has accomplished, friends, first thing that I want us to recognize is the fact that he didn't do it on his own. That God was the one who put it within him that he needed to make some changes. And that it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that he was able to actually take the steps that needed to be done. Because like he said, he's tried this up and down before, and it didn't work. So here's the first thing that I want us to make sure that we're very clear on as we think about presenting our bodies as a temple, a living temple for God. And that is that Jesus accepts us exactly the way we are now today. He forgives us, he cleanses us, he fills us. But you know, the exciting thing about serving this God that we serve is that he doesn't leave us where we are. He constantly wants to improve us. It's the Coronary Heart Improvement Project. He wants us to do better. That's why I find it so exciting when you read stories about the mission field and you hear about how this being appears to someone in one of those villages and he gives them the health message and it ties it in together with the gospel so that it's all a package. And then that person in white leaves that village. And then maybe a call porter or maybe a missionary comes 10 or 20 or 50 years later and they look at that village and they compare it to all of the other villages. What has happened to that village? It's totally changed, hasn't it? Everybody has changed there. They don't have the pigs living with them and sleeping with them and the chickens and all of that. Everything's cleaned up. They have clothes on. Their bodies are clean. Their faces are smiling. Their hair is combed. They look like they would if they were in heaven. And that's what God is telling us here today. He accepts us the way we are, but he wants to do more for us. He is not satisfied that we live in poor health with decreased vigor and energy. The Holy Spirit never leaves people where he finds them. He always cleans them up, he straightens them up, he fills them up, and he fixes them up for holy living. Not only do we wrestle against the powers of darkness and wickedness in high places, my friends, we are living a life and death struggle with the prevalent diseases of an affluent society. Here they are: obesity, strokes, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, osteoporosis. You know that out there in those third world countries, they don't have these kind of diseases except in the big cities. Out there in the rural communities, they don't have these things. They don't struggle with this. They have things like flu and measles and mumps and that's. They don't have these things. Why not? Because they don't have the money to go out there and buy all this extra food. All this food that's not good for them. But we, as a society today, are wrestling with these things as never before. And that's why perhaps the greatest, the fastest growing disease in this country today is diabetes. And the reason for that is because of obesity. And the reason for obesity is because we have so much good stuff all around us to eat. And we have a hard time controlling it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. I was reading this week in Exodus 23 about the work of the angel that God sent to guide and care for the Israelites on their journey from Israel to the promised land. You have to read this passage back in Exodus. Check it out. Exodus, the 23rd chapter and the 25th verse. Exodus 23, 25. I was really, really interested in the interaction between the angel and God. Trying to figure out who is this angel that God said he would send before the Israelites. Now, you probably already figured that out yourself. You know who that angel was? It was Jesus Christ himself, the second person of the Godhead, who was the messenger who went ahead of them. And here's what he said in 23. And verse 25, in fact, let me back up verse 23. For my angel will go before you and bring you to, and it lists all the various people there in Canaan. He said, I will cut those heathen nations off. And verse 25, so you will serve the Lord your God. And notice the blessings of serving the Lord your God. He, the angel Jesus, will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Isn't that what we want? Do we want to be full of sickness and disease? When I go over here to the school and I see half of the kids wiped out from some kind of flu bug that's going around. Some of the kids over there miss out on weeks and weeks of school because they're so sick. Do we want that in our midst? We don't want that. We want our children healthy. We want to be healthy ourselves. And God, and this is the important part, and God wants us to be healthy. And he has a plan for us to be healthy so that we can glorify him. One of the best ways to prevent disease, I have discovered personally, is to go on the offensive with a realistic exercise program. And I want to talk to you about the benefits of exercise for the next 5 minutes. Look at these slides very quickly as I show them up here on the screen here. Here's the problem, friends. Inactivity. You know, there are some 2.5 million deaths every year in the United States. Approximately 12% of those 250,000 deaths every year can be directly attributed to lack of physical exercise. Did you know that? Over 250,000. Nearly 3 out of every 4 adults gets little or no regular exercise. Only 23% get regular light to moderate activity, and only 12% get any kind of regular vigorous exercise. That's an astonishingly small number. I wonder if that would hold true in this congregation if we were to take a survey. I bet it wouldn't. Go on to the next slide, please. Now, here are the benefits. The physical activity level and the risk of heart attack. We're going to look at heart attack, cancer, and some of those things now in the next moment or two. Physical activity level. This is a study done of the nurses 72,000 of them followed over 8 years. This shows, and you can see the high column on the left, right? And then you can see the lower column, about half on the right-hand side, the far right. On that continuum, looking at the amount of exercise they got, the little amount with the one, and then over to the other one on the far extreme, showing that it was cut in half by those who had a significant amount of exercise. Heart attacks dropped 54% in the group that exercised regularly. Let's go to the next slide. Same thing is true of diabetes. In fact, the same thing is going to be true of all of these things. Notice, when it was divided, a group of individuals, 70,000 of them were divided up into five different categories called quintiles, and the sedentary ones were assigned one. Those who were the most active cleared down almost half as much got diabetes as those who didn't exercise at all, the sedentary. Next slide, please. Talking about cardiorespiratory fitness and cancer. You never thought there was a connection between the two, did you? Did you? Come on now. You thought that it was mostly related to your diet. 25,000, over 25,000 men followed for 10 years. The results? The highly fit people had a 55% lower cancer mortality rate than the low fit people. Now you say, oh, but what about smoking and what about their age and their body mass index and alcohol and diabetes? No, those were all screened out. That wasn't part of it. It was just for the amount of exercise they got and whether they got cancer. Now that ought to get us moving right there, right? Because we're all deathly afraid of the C word, aren't we? Next slide, please. My mother. I'm so sad about this. My mother just fell last week and fractured her hip. I was hoping she was going to make it all through life without that happening. My mother-in-law last year did. Physical activity and the risk of hip fracture. There is such a strong correlation there that it can't be ignored. You'll notice down at the bottom it's talking about the activity level in METS. METS, let's see, what does that stand for, David? It has to do with the metabolic equivalence, isn't that it? Metabolic equivalence. In other words, you need to have 3 hours of walking per hour. No. You get 3 METs for 1 hour of walking. 20 minutes for one. 20 minutes. So that means, 6 and 24, that means you need 6 hours, clear on the far side of individuals who qualified for the high exercise. You need 6 hours of walking per week compared to those that got less than 3 hours. And there's the continuum there. So in other words, if you're walking a lot during the week, it's going to cut down the chances of you getting a hip fracture, you older folks, by, less than half. I knew of a gentleman, a Chinese gentleman, a good friend of mine, Dr. Tuan, up in Eureka. You would see him walking all around Eureka. Wherever you went, it seemed like Dr. Tuan was there, within 3 miles or so, 4 miles of his house. Do you know how old he was? 90 years old. 90. And that was the reason why he was 90, I believe. Because he believed firmly in glorifying his God by getting out and exercising. Next slide. I think this should be the last one. Ladies, you're going to be particularly impressed by this. Do you know that if you are active in your life in exercising, that you have the potential of cutting down the chances of breast cancer by 2/3? 2/3. And I just read that a lot of ladies today are being proactive and they're having their breasts removed before they even get cancer, because they're afraid that they'll get it. And so they're disfiguring themselves when they could just be exercising and reducing those risks so much. Amazing if we just followed God's plan. Let's go to the next slide. So here are the physical activity guidelines that I'd like to share with you today as we come to a close. You need to have at least 30 minutes or more of moderate intensity physical exercise pretty much every day of the week. Now, the next slide will show you that it's even better if you could work your way up to 60 minutes. You'll be even more fit. You'll feel even better. You might even be able to lose some weight, like Hal did here. Did you say 40 pounds, Hal?
Yes, but that wasn't primarily just from exercising. When you go on God's original diet, so, you're counting calories, you can eat like a horse, but you're eating the right
diet and exercise.
It's
yeah.
The fuel that you're burning.
Yeah, good point. Next slide, please. The bottom line is this, friends. If you want to remain independent and have fewer limitations as you get older, if you want to have a vital life, if you want to be able to contribute up into your 80s and 90s, to have a strong mind and a strong body, all you have to do is start now, doing just a few little things. And we're going to suggest that not only do you walk, which is one of the easiest things that you could do, that we can all do, but that you begin to do some type of weight training like Hal was talking about here. Not a lot, 2 or 3 times a week. You can come to David Hartwick. He'll be glad to give you a few exercises to do as a physical therapist. 8 to 10 exercises of the major muscle groups, and you do that 8 to 10 reps for each one, and you'll start to not only develop cardiovascularly, but your muscles, and then your bones will respond as well. Next slide, please. This gentleman, I had to show you this slide. Sam Levinson, 103 years old, set a new world record for shot put. 103 years old. Isn't that something? This next person, you probably have seen Mavis, haven't you? Did you know that she started running in her mid-60s? In her mid-60s, that's the time that I've given up running because of my knees. She holds records in her age division. She's running 11 marathons in Portland alone, 11 of them. She's competed all over the world. You know, we have our own Mavis Lundgren right here in our church. Don't we? And she's got a few more marathons to run before she gets up to Mavis's. But 90 years old, still out there running 26 miles. Wow. That's God's plan. Let's move on. So enjoy the active benefits, the healthy benefits of an active life. Char's going to be in the back today. She's so glad that I was willing to preach on this subject, because she hasn't been able to get as many people involved as she wants to. You know, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a new program, a new plan. It's called the In-Step Program. The idea here is to get as many church members involved in doing some sort of exercise as possible. They're doing it at the conference office. I don't know if they're doing it at Adventist Health or not, Frank. But what the idea here is, friends, we pick up a form as we leave church, and it'll be right out there today. Then during the week, you record how much exercise you've got. Now, one of the best types of exercises I've already mentioned is walking. And so that's why Merritt and a lot of others that you see around here are going to have their little pedometers, even on Sabbath. Let's see, how far have I walked today? Well, wandering around up here on the platform, 782 steps. Now you could just push this button right here. Let me see if I can get it to talk. Here we are. Listen carefully.
You have walked 785 steps.
So this is one of those cute little ones that you can buy for, I don't know, $5 or $10 or something like that, a big five. What Merritt and the chip people are doing is they just put it on their belt when they get up in the morning. And don't even think about it till you come to the end of the day. You have to take off your pants, right, or your whatever you're wearing. And so you look at it, write it down. At the end of the week, you total it. You turn it in, put it in the box back here, and then Char and Sharon will total it up. And then we're going to have a big map of the United States. And the idea here is for this congregation, total amount of exercise converted into miles is going to take us all the way to New York City and back again. That's the goal. I think we can do it if we all get involved. Now remember, why are we doing this? Are we doing this so that we can benefit ourselves? Well, it does benefit us. But the primary motivation for doing this is because of what God has done for us. Because he wants to come and live and reign within us. And I want to close with Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Would you take your Bibles and look at an astonishing concept here? This is such a life-motivating concept that I had to share it with you. It changed me. Hebrews 10. Little book there toward the back of the Bible. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And it's talking there about Jesus. There's a quotation here taking us all the way back to the book of Psalm. Hebrews 10, 5 through 7. And it says about Jesus, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said," this is Jesus said, "Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me," book of Psalms, "I delight," or that is, "to do your will, O my God." Wow. Look at this next slide. The creator of the universe encapsulated in the womb of a lady. There he is. Can you imagine? "A body I have prepared for you." I want to suggest to you, my friends, that God has prepared a body for you. Every one of you. He has prepared a marvelous body for you to inhabit so that you can delight to do his will. I encourage you, my friends, as you leave the sanctuary today, to think about how you can delight your Lord with the way you treat your body. Whether it's what you eat, whether it's what you drink, but especially as we're thinking about this in the context of today's topic, about how you exercise and prepare your body to glorify your God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you've told us that you want us to be a sanctuary for you, a place where you can dwell. And Lord, we cannot imagine in our wildest imaginings why you would want to do that or how you could do that. Because we are so weak and so sinful. We've come so far from your original plan for us when we think about Adam and Eve and those first people created. And here we are, mere pygmies. Here we are, using only a fraction of our brains. Here we are, just reduced after 6,000 years of sin. But the thrilling and the exciting thing is that you want to come in and you want to live within us and you want to change us and you want to give us the strength and the power to overcome those bad habits. Those bad habits of eating and those bad habits of speaking and those bad habits of living. And you want to change us and transform us and you want to make us like you. Receptacles, temples, sanctuaries for the Spirit to dwell. Thank you for trusting us, for giving us the potential. And at last, O Lord, restoring us to that original beauty, to that original splendor. We look forward to that day, Lord. Dismiss us today now with your blessing. And we thank you for hearing our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.